You know that feeling, right? That crushing weight of an infinite to-do list. Feeling like you're just constantly drowning in work, like you're bailing water out of a sinking boat, but the tide just keeps coming in.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's sort of the baseline experience for a lot of people these days, isn't it? The sheer volume. It just seems impossible to get ahead of.
It really does. I definitely feel it sometimes, you know, looking at my inbox or the project list. And the natural instinct when you feel like you're drowning is to paddle harder, right? To work faster, longer, just, you know, hustle your way through it. But what if that feeling and that frantic response are actually making things worse?
That's the key question.
So today we're taking a deep dive into this really fascinating article called Work is Water, Flow, Not Drowning.
Yeah, it uses a really surprising and powerful analogy.
Mm-hmm.
Viewing work not as this static pile of tasks you have to conquer, but as a dynamic flow,
mm-hmm.
you know, like water.
Right.
And the mission for this deep dive is really to extract the most important nuggets from this source, helping you shift your perspective from feeling overwhelmed and just trying to bail faster
yeah.
to understanding how to manage the flow itself.
So the core idea, it sounds kind of counterintuitive, is instead of trying to empty the ocean that is your to-do list, maybe the real skill lies in like intentionally controlling the rate at which work enters and moves through your system.
Exactly. Let's maybe unpack that feeling of drowning first.
Yeah.
The article paints this really vivid picture of work as water just rushing downstream.
Right. And it contrasts this with how water behaves in nature. You know, natural waterways with all their twists and turns and dams and floodplains, they actually slow water down.
Mm-hmm, naturally.
That creates resilience, right? It reduces flood risk. It gives us time to adapt.
But human-made channels, we tend to straighten them, you know, pave them, speed up the flow. And what happens then?
Disaster downstream.
Yeah, dramatic flooding downstream,
yeah.
often causing chaos and destruction. And when we apply this to work and we try to crush our tasks, rushing them through.
We're doing the same thing.
We're essentially channeling that work downstream to the next person or the next stage in the process, potentially overwhelming them.
And here's where it gets really interesting, I thought. The source points out how work is even more complex than just a simple river. It doesn't just flow away from us.
No, that's the tricky part.
It flows in all directions. It flows back to us. Like, think about sending an email. The reply often creates new work flowing right back into your inbox.
Exactly. That's why we feel perpetually submerged in this work water. It keeps coming back.
Yeah.
So the article highlights the core issue.
Yeah.
This water isn't effectively reaching the sea, which, you know, represents true completion and impact.
Yeah.
And the more frantically we try to bail,
the worse it gets.
The deeper in work in process, or WIP, we get.
Yeah. Okay, hang on. How does trying to do more actually make things worse? That sounds completely backward.
Well, it's what the article calls the wicked part of this system. When you start too many things at once, you significantly increase your WIP.
Okay.
And high WIP forces constant task switching. Every single time you switch tasks, there's a cost.
Yeah.
You know, time lost, reorienting, recalling context, getting back into the zone for that specific piece of work.
Ah, the context switching penalty.
Right. This overhead just eats into the time you could be spending actually completing something.
Ah, the paradox. So you're spending all your energy hopping between half-finished tasks instead of moving any single one forward to the finish line. The time lost between the tasks means less time actually finishing any single task.
Exactly. That's precisely it. And this raises a really important question. If rushing and starting too much makes things worse, what's the alternative?
Right.
And the source points towards a pretty counterintuitive solution. You have to slow down to ultimately go faster.
Slow is smooth. Smooth is fast. I love that phrase. But it's completely counterintuitive when you feel that pressure, you know, deadlines, a mile-long list. Your gut just screams, hustle.
It does. But the article shares a great example from a financial industry software project. They were facing this fixed deadline. The team went into overdrive, long hours, no breaks, just pure hustle.
Right. Sounds familiar.
But they quickly realized that while they were developing features faster, the work was just piling up at the next stage, like testing or deployment.
Ah, so their individual speed up didn't actually speed up the whole project.
Not at all. In fact, the rushing also meant more errors, more misunderstandings. So work kept flowing back for rework.
Oh, no.
The project actually ended up taking longer overall. It's a really clear illustration that pure frantic hustle is often less effective than, you know, intentional, mindful, precise work.
But pausing to be intentional, to plan, That feels like you're wasting precious time. Time you could be spending actually doing something, doing the real work.
It definitely feels like wasted time in the moment. I get that. But the source sort of provides the alternative.
Yeah.
Just continuing to stumble forward, completely overwhelmed by a to-do list that is fundamentally infinite. It calls this the worst kind of Sisyphean endeavor.
Ugh, the Sisyphus feeling. Pushing that boulder of tasks up the hill only for it to roll back down. Just endlessly. The sheer, undeniable, and infinite nature of the to-do list.
And this is the crucial moment of clarity the article really emphasizes. Accepting that the queue of potential work can never be completed.
Never.
Never. We live in a world of infinite possibilities, right?
Yeah.
Each generating potential tasks. You simply cannot do it all. Ever. Trying to conquer infinity with just brute force. It's futile.
Okay, deep breath. You cannot do it all. Ever. So, working more hours, rushing tasks, hiring more people, they won't clear an infinite list.
The source is quite blunt about this. It says, you know, doubling your capacity doesn't make a dent in infinity. It just doesn't. The fundamental nature of the challenge remains exactly the same.
So what can you do then? If you can't ever clear the list, what's the move?
Well, instead of trying to drain the ocean, the alternative is to focus on setting the rate at which infinity can enter your work system.
Controlling the inflow.
Exactly. It's about actively slowing the water down to establish a healthy, manageable, and sustainable flow.
This brings us to another simple but really powerful analogy the source uses. Working is like drinking.
That's right. You know, when you're thirsty, you drink a glass of water. Maybe two. You don't try to hydrate for the entire month by downing, like, 90 liters all at once.
Right, that would be insane.
And planning, the source suggests, needs to be continuous, like drinking. Not some massive, infrequent event.
Okay.
Because the need to choose between competing demands, that's always present. Planning only once a week is likely too infrequent to effectively manage the flow. But, you know, planning after every single tiny task might be too much overhead.
Finding the right rhythm.
Exactly. And the source isn't super prescriptive about the specific methodology. It mentions techniques like Pomodoro working in focus bursts or personal Kanban, visualizing your workflow.
Yeah, GTD, things like that.
Right, getting things done.
Yeah.
But the core need is consistent. You need some mechanism, something that allows for continuous planning and working with intention.
Okay, continuous planning. But what are you actually doing during these frequent small planning moments? Are you trying to figure out how to do everything on that infinite list?
No, and this is a really critical shift. The source argues the most crucial activity in planning isn't figuring out how to do it all, but deciding what you won't work on.
Oh, man, that's hard because the list of things you won't do is, well, it's even bigger than the list of things you could possibly do. It's almost everything.
It absolutely is immense, but it's a fundamental reality, isn't it? A law of nature, as the article puts it. Choosing to do one thing inherently means choosing not to do countless other things. You can't fight that reality, but you can embrace it.
Embracing that. Okay, that feels like it gives you some leverage somehow.
It does. Performing this continuous small-scale planning doesn't have to take long at all, and it gives you immediate leverage for navigating incoming work. Well, the source provides a specific example. When someone tries to give you a new task, your planning allows you to ask, okay, is this new item genuinely more important than these specific items I've already planned and committed to doing right now?
That's not confrontational. It's collaborative prioritization. It forces a real conversation.
Exactly. It often reveals the new task isn't actually more important, or at least it forces that necessary discussion about what gives. You're not just passively receiving work anymore. You're actively managing the flow rate.
Makes sense.
And effectively slowing the water down. Well, it inevitably requires what the source calls courageous conversations. This isn't just about your personal planning. It's about managing expectations and flow with others, too.
Courageous conversations.
Okay, is that just code for saying no more often?
Sometimes, yeah. It is saying no when your capacity is genuinely committed. But other times, it's collaborating to understand and maybe negotiate priorities across different people or projects. It's about setting clear boundaries on the flow. Okay, the source has a really relevant example here with software teams, right? They were flexible about letting stakeholders change the priority of items in the upcoming backlog, things they hadn't started yet.
Yes, but, and this is really key to managing flow, once development actually started on a specific work item, they didn't allow switching away from it.
Ah.
They let the developers finish it.
That prevents the waste and the confusion of having, like, half a feature lying around.
Exactly. Work isn't left incomplete, creating downstream problems or flowing back later for rework. And even if your specific context is different, maybe you're not building software. The principle stands. Finish what you start before you eagerly jump onto the next new thing.
Which connects directly to another concept mentioned, right? That lean idea.
Yeah. Stop starting and start finishing.
That feels so counter to the culture we often see, doesn't it? That always be starting something new, always look busy, kind of pressure.
It really is. The focus shifts completely. It's not about measuring busyness or how many things you've started. It's about measuring completion and ultimately the impact you're making.
Okay, so let's try and wrap this up. The fundamental reality, as the source puts it, is that pretty much everyone in knowledge work faces an effectively infinite to-do list. You can't finish it.
No, you can never be done in that traditional sense of clearing the entire list.
Yes.
It's impossible. But as the source so powerfully highlights, only by being really intentional about managing the flow can you hope to have greater impact with the finite time and energy you do have.
It really challenges that completionist mindset. You know, the delusion that if you just apply more effort, more hustle, you'll somehow inch closer to clearing an infinite list.
Yeah, the article calls this a shared delusion we all often buy into. It feels productive, but it isn't really.
So the alternative frame offered is actually quite liberating, isn't it?
I think so. You can't ever be done with the list, but you can choose to work where you can make the biggest, most meaningful impact. You can manage the flow.
Wow. Okay, so this deep dive into work is water has offered a pretty profound shift in how to think about that feeling of overwhelm. Moving from feeling drowned and just trying to bail faster.
Which we now know doesn't work.
Right. To understanding work as a flow and intentionally managing the rate and, crucially, selecting where your limited energy actually goes.
Yeah, it invites you to build those intentional dams and channels through planning and those courageous conversations, ensuring the water flows at a manageable pace. A pace that allows for actual completion and real impact.
So here's maybe a final thought for you listening. If you accept that you can never truly be done, and that deciding what not to do is arguably the most crucial decision you make each day, how does that change how you look at your own to-do list? How might you plan your next hour or your next day differently?
And building on that, how might deliberately focusing on finishing just one important thing before allowing yourself to start the next, how might that fundamentally change the potential impact you can create? Something to ponder as you navigate the currents of your own workflow.